Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio, Starcom Radio Networks, and CRN Digital Talk, and more. Now, stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and creativity every week on Lucid Planet Radio. Man, we have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to become the greatest version of yourself. And of course, you can also find out more on our website, thelucidplanet.com, and stream all of our shows for free on lucidplanetradio.com. Hi, that's my guest for today, Daniel. I want to introduce you and I want to get you on Skype, and I'm hoping that my studio is going to call you. I can't take the call right now because I'm in the middle of stuff. So, if you're there, if my producers are there, help us get our guest on the line. Anyway, I just want to also announce before we get started, some of the big news that I was talking about in 2017, which is we are now being aired on the Starcom Radio Network, which is reaching an additional 50 AM/FM stations across the country. I want to give a huge shout out to Ed Tile of the Ed Tile Show on Starcom for making this happen. I am just absolutely delighted that we are in such alignment. And I really hope that our new listeners on Starcom today are enjoying the show. And if you're out there, you can call in live 1-800-930-2819. So it is a new year, and we all love to set New Year's resolutions, or at least, you know, reflect upon our lives and set intentions for where we hope to find ourselves in the year. But what if instead of choosing, you know, the usual stuff like, you know, losing weight, quitting smoking, making money, whatever, what if we set a collective intention for the planet? What if each of us did our part to make our New Year's resolution to help better planet Earth? What would that look like? And could we actually reverse the global climate crisis in a year if we made that our top priority? What would it take to make that happen? So today, I'm really pleased to welcome one of the forefront visionary thinkers of our generation, Daniel Pinchbeck, to discuss the global climate crisis and his brand new book, How Soon Is Now? It is not just a Morrissey reference. It is also really offering an approach to our current mega crisis and positing that humanity has basically self-willed the crisis in order to bring about the next stage of our evolution. Now, in typical fashion, one of the things we love about Daniel Pinchbeck is that he offers such a wide-ranging exploration of the issues, including the roles that psychedelics and sexuality will play in the shift. So we're definitely going to talk about that. So just a little bit of background. Daniel Pinchbeck is the founder of the think tank, the Center for Planetary Culture, which has produced the Regenerative Society Wiki, and his essays and articles have been featured in the New York Times Magazine, Esquire, Rolling Stone, Art Forum, New York Times Book Review, Village Voice, etc. He is the star of the wonderful 2010 documentary 2012 A Time for Change, and his books include Breaking Open the Head and 2012 Return of Quetzalcoatl, which was a New York Times bestseller. Now, he's of course known for foreseeing the rise in ayahuasca, iboga, DMT more than a decade ago, and I'm just really excited to welcome him to the show. I know we've been trying to patch him in. So, Daniel, are you here?
I'm here.
Woo, yay. Okay, great. Well, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
You know, my sister met you at COSM about 5 years ago and has been trying to put me in touch with you to do an interview for a really long time. And so I just think it's funny that it all kind of has fallen into place today. 11, is it 111? Beautiful. So, Daniel, how soon is now? Did you, was this an unintentional tribute to the Morrissey song, or is it just like a coincidence?
I mean, from my perspective, it's more of a coincidence. It was graffiti that was written on a truck outside of a place where I was writing my previous book, and it just stuck in my name, in my head, as an appropriate name for this book.
Absolutely. Now, this book really feels like a call to action and really like a wake-up call. Was that your intention when writing it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I just had this, for many years, I had a very strong feeling that we needed to think about our situation more systemically, and the way that people for the most part are approaching, trying to come up with solutions is, very short term and very limited, and within a frame of reference that's already been kind of defined by a whole political and economic system. And we're kind of like just butting our heads against this system. And meanwhile, all of the problems in the world are getting more and more dire, you know, in particular, the ecological problem.
Absolutely. Well, you raise a really interesting point, something that really resonated with me, which is kind of, we believe ourselves to be waking up. And certainly a big theme of the show is kind of this like global shift of consciousness. But what's kind of happened is you have this elitist corporate Diet Coke kind of spirituality awakening. You know, you mentioned in the book, you know, it's like you're reading the Four Agreements, you're doing your Tantra workshop at the weekend, you go to your yoga class, but It you're not really fully surrendering to what the awakening is. And so it just kind of becomes another form of the capitalist hegemonic ideology. And you contrast that with like waking up for real. And I guess I just love to hear from you, like, what does it mean to wake up for real and get out of that trap that kind of we need to heal ourselves in order to be okay to then heal our planet?
Okay. Well, I guess, I would say that, you know, we've all been brought up in a very a culture that's focused on, you know, individualism and hyper-consumerism. And so we tend to look at things from those perspectives, including spirituality. So spirituality in our culture is very much people do for themselves. You know, you have to master the Four Agreements or understand the power of now, You know, and actually, I think that we need to take another step, and we need to see that, there's something of greater kind of spiritual merit in, you know, figures like Gandhi or Martin Luther King or even, you know, Jesus, who threw the money changers out of the temple, where there's a realization that, it's not just about our own individual development, that if we've actually attained some form of realization, we should realize that, there's sort of one consciousness that's expressing itself through all of us. And actually the greatest act that we can do is service for those who need it, you know, both for, the living world and the non-human world and for our human family.
Absolutely. And this isn't to say that, you know, wanting to better yourself as a person and following spiritual practices, I don't think either of us is saying that's a bad thing at all. It's just recognizing that maybe isn't the only battle, and we need to kind of collectively work together. And so I think about your earlier work with ayahuasca, iboga, DMT. Does this kind of play into the perspective that you're developing in How Soon Is Now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, for instance, when I went down to the Amazon for the first time and did ayahuasca, we passed through a huge area where the jungle had been cut down, after the oil companies penetrated the jungle. Mm. And the medicine itself often gives you, kind of messages about the necessity of taking care of the planet and so on. So, you know, for me, like, that's really what the medicine is all about. Is about, you have to do your own healing and your own inner work, but don't get stuck on that level or in that place. Then it's really about how do you, serve the collective. And then in order to serve the collective properly, you have to have a systemic understanding of what's happening on the planet and what needs to be done,
What inspired you? Was it these psychedelic experiences? I know we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes, but I'm curious, was it the psychedelic experiences that first inspired you to see in terms of the collective, or were you seeing in terms of the collective and then the psychedelic experiences kind of enhanced that?
I think I had started basically what happened is I was a journalist. I was writing for magazines. I did a piece for Esquire magazine, which was kind of like for them, kind of like a jokey ecological piece, looking at why the sperm count had declined 50% in the last 50 years.
What I found
was that it was quite serious. That it was like plastics and pesticides and chemicals that were hurting our endocrine system and also causing breast cancer and all these other cancers and so on. And then when the piece came out, you know, there was sort of this joking kind of reaction to it. And I began to realize that, like, we were really in trouble because for whatever reason, these terrible things were happening to our environment and we were totally disconnected and alienated from it. And, you know, I thought one reason for that was the kind of scientific materialist worldview, which is basically like a nihilist worldview, which sees that, you know, kind of the consciousness can only be brain-based. So, you know, once you're dead, that's it, total kind mm-hmm. of void of anything. You know, so that's why, in a way, for me, my life's work over the last 20 years has been very consistent and very logical and very coherent. Because first mm-hmm. I needed to understand, you know, was that the case or was there any other kind of, you know, other parts of the soul or the spirit, or was there any reason to believe what mystics said? And that led me to psychedelics as the most kind of easy way, systemic way to explore that and to prove that. And then later on, you know, that led me to explore the indigenous understanding of the world and then to think about the systemic change that needs to happen.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk a lot more after the break about what is the systemic change. I'm here with Daniel Pinchbeck. He's going to share with us kind of what are the consequences to the planet if we don't slow down the rise in temperature. So stick with us here on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly and Daniel Pinchbeck, and I will be right back after this short break.
You, yes you, can be the highest version of yourself. Wellness coach and natural beauty expert Dr. Agnes Frankel is on a mission to help you play the game of your life. Win in vibrancy, health, and beauty. Because you deserve it. Dr. Agnes goes beyond the limits in her personal coaching sessions to revolutionize health and wellness. Now is the time to unleash your true power. For more information, visit dragnesfrankel.com.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhya and Steve Tanija on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is Daniel Pinchbeck, who is talking with us about the global climate crisis from personal initiation to global transformation. I just want to again give a shout out to our new listeners on the Starcom Network and also let you know we're going to take some live callers today if you're in the mood to chat with me or with Daniel about, you know, the global climate crisis, sexuality, psychedelics, whatever. You can call us at 1-800-930-2819. That's 1-800-930-2819. Now, Daniel, I thought before we continue, I'd just love to make sure that everybody knows how to contact you to find out more about your books, your events, and so on.
Sure, there are many ways. I mean, the website for the book is howsoonisnow.info. I also have a personal website, pinchbeck.io. People can go and message me there. I also have an active user of Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And if they, you know, if they want to, How Soon Is Now also has the roster of events, across America and in London and Germany next month and so on. So, yep, those are the good ways.
Perfect. And when is the book out? I know I have an advanced copy of it because we're doing the show. Is it out yet or is it coming out soon?
It's not quite out yet. It's out in about a month. February 20th, I believe, is the official pub date.
February 20th. Perfect. So if you want to pre-order that, you can probably do that on Amazon. How soon? Well, apparently another month. Sorry.
Exactly.
Daniel, I really want to get into this climate stuff. A lot of our listeners are very aware of these topics, but for those who aren't, you know, can you describe the horrifying consequences for the planet if we don't slow down the rise in temperatures, or at least can you summarize them? I know there's a very, very thorough description in the book.
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, climate change is only one of the many issues that are facing us. In fact, the most comprehensive picture is provided by the Stockholm Resilience Center. They came up with something called the Planetary Boundaries Model, and they denoted nine planetary boundaries that we are, you know, have to not trespass, and we've already kind of crossed three of them. So those include, obviously, climate, global warming, but then they also include things like species extinction, ocean acidification, nitrogen runoff from agriculture, ozone layer depletion, and so on. I would have to say that there's some likelihood we could bring about our own extinction as a species in a relatively short amount of time. We're at the moment, in terms of just the species crisis, we're losing as many as 150, 200 species per day. Scientists estimate there's about 8.7 million total species on the planet. So if you do the math, it means we're losing something like 10 or 15% of the remaining species, the remaining biodiversity every 10 or 15 years. I guess 10% every 10 or 15 years. And, we now know how the whole web of life is meshed together very, very deeply. And it's a very interdependent system. So if we keep tearing it apart, we're obviously going to be in big trouble. In terms of global warming in particular, the last time there was this much CO2 in the atmosphere, which is more than 400 parts per million, temperatures were 4 degrees Celsius warmer than they are now, and sea levels were 100 feet higher. So if we simply stay at this level, we're probably going to, we would get to that point. Except that doesn't happen incrementally. Unfortunately, at some point, there's a triggering of an eruption of frozen methane from beneath the Arctic and the Siberian permafrost that could bring about another 3 to 4 degrees Celsius estimated temperature within, a few decades. And it's thought that the eruption of the methane caused the Permian mass extinction. It was like 60 million years ago or something. I can't remember exactly. where 95% of all life on Earth went extinct in under a century. So the problem with that is, like, you know, one problem would be just simply oxygen. At the moment, we're deforesting a lot of the planet. The forests, the tropical jungles, and so on, are produce 20% of the oxygen we breathe. Algae, plankton in the oceans produce another something like 60%. If the climate, if the warming spikes to the methane, then that affects the life cycle of the plankton, and they stop producing so much oxygen. So we basically sort of asphyxiate. And that's the kind of stuff that's happened in the past. So, you know, despite, you know, the fact we have a climate change denying president-elect, and, we're bringing in, bringing in the chief of Exxon as the Secretary of State, we actually have to have a mass awakening and a shift in our social practices, behavior patterns to address what we've done to the environment. Or we literally, you know, may have no planet for our children and certainly for their children.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it, the psychology here. Is it that, and I think about this a lot, is it just so startling and disturbing and tragic and messed up that it's kind of easier to shift away? Like, it's too much fear. You know, they've shown in psychology, if it's too much fear, it doesn't work. If it has to be just the right amount of fear to change behavior. And I can't help but wonder, are we in denial? Are we just so scared? Or do we just not care? Do people just not care? And they just think that, you know, it doesn't matter. We're screwed anyway. Might as well just rage face until the end of time. Like, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I think there are a number of different things that are, you know, active in this. I mean, one is just the speed. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, the Industrial Revolution only began 200 years ago. The types of, you know, mechanical and technological progress that we've had now is a very new phenomenon in human history and in human psychology. Although there's, you know, many negatives to industrialization, it's also allowed for a lot more people on the earth, a lot more people living longer, a lot more people living in cities, using cell phones, being on the internet, watching TV. I mean, this is all very, very new for us. So we've had this, you know, sort of deep-seated belief that progress is just like moving in this one direction and technology is getting better and better. And soon we're going to have like the singularity. You know, it's a lot for people then to be like, oh, actually we can't go in that direction anymore, or we don't make it as a species. And we have to come to a sudden screeching halt and change our direction and think about, well, how do we use our, you know, intellect and our technical capacities to build like a truly, resilient or regenerative system. And we do have that capacity, but it really requires at this point a collective mass awakening and people who are willing to kind of not get distracted or dissuaded or think about lesser things and really make this their primary focus. And we also have to accept that, you know, particularly from us in the first world, the rich world, you know, if we were going to make this transition, it would probably be a calling out for significant sacrifices and the reductions in our lifestyle excesses for the foreseeable future, you know, for 10, 20, 30 years until we had actually created a renewable energy grid and, shipped it to cradle manufacturing and so on. So, you know, it's the exact opposite of everything that Trump and these people now represent. It's actually like we have to ask people to give up their greed and their self-interest and come together for the greater good, you know, of our human family as a whole and for our own children and their descendants.
You make this great argument in your TED Talk and in the book that this is an indigenous initiation, that we've actually unconsciously created this harrowing and even arguably more terrifying experience now to bring about change. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the ideas that's been central to my books, my first book, Waking Up in the Head, and the second book, 2012, and now this book, is that initiation is something very important, very innate to human beings, and it's something that we forfeited with modern civilization. So essentially all tribal and traditional societies have rites of passage, initiations, vision quests, particularly for men, but for young women also. And the purpose of these experiences was to actually have transpersonal visionary experience, non-ordinary states of consciousness, it may even have a neurophysiological function connected to the prefrontal cortex or the neocortex, which, you know, sort of gives us many of the things that make us human, but also in its immature phase makes us have a sense of like separation or kind of over egoic identification. So it's through a transpersonal or visionary experience that we kind of overcome this egoic identification. We understand that we're actually part of a larger whole. With traditional cultures, that would be the tribe or the community. Now I think it really is with the planet, the ecosystem, the biosystem as a whole. And so, and what some thinkers have noted, like Walter Benjamin, is that initiations are not just optional. They're so innate to human beings that we will create the conditions for them no matter what. And if we don't create them through consciously designed rituals like walkabouts or plant, you know, visionary plant vision quests or whatever, then we'll create them through massive collective episodes of destruction, like wars and Holocaust and concentration camps. And I think, you know, unfortunately, with what's happening with Trump and this thing that's going on right now, you know, America seems to be gearing up for this type of dark initiation through destruction and death. And we really have to figure out how we can avert that possibility.
You're absolutely right that, you know, sometimes the night is darkest before the dawn, as they like to say in Batman and other places. And so there is this awakening, but then there's also this flip side that is feeling very ominous and very destructive. We don't know yet what it's all going to look like, but certainly for the environment, there are a lot of concerns. And really the resonating question for me, and this is not something Daniel or I think could ever purport to have the answer to, is how do you spur a mass awakening or an initiation on this level where people are willing to make the steps necessary to reject their conditioning and reject the structures to create something that is more sustainable for the planet? And that we don't know. But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're actually going to bring in some other themes here that might help us understand this contextually. So Daniel Pinchbeck is actually going to share with us some really interesting stuff from his book about the role that love and relationships actually plays in the crisis and how our understanding through shifting our understanding of love and relationships, we can also kind of push this initiation forward. So stay with us on Lucid Planet Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home. We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I have Daniel Pinchbeck here, who has been talking with us about his new book, How Soon Is Now, out next month. And really, we've been talking about the global climate crisis and the role of initiation. And so what I wanted to talk about now is this very provocative chapter of your new book that explores the idea that love, sex, and romantic relationships are actually playing a part in the crisis and can also play a part in our initiation and healing. Daniel, can you break that down for us a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's one of my theories in the book is that this area is a particularly crucial one. And it's, you know, once again, if we look at the present, the last election, it's amazing how, you know, sexuality was a kind of running major theme in the election in many ways. For instance, you know, Hillary Clinton's husband, Bill Clinton, and the scandal that led to his impeachment, sure. Trump and his, you know, comments, his misogynistic comments. Roger Ailes, the head of Fox News, was just found a big sex scandal and so on. So we can see over and over again that something about you know, sexuality is something that we haven't really reckoned with as a society, and it keeps coming back in many different ways to hurt us. You know, what I guess I consider in the book is this idea that you know, sexual monogamy is actually not innate or natural to our species. As you mentioned, the book Sex at Dawn by Christopher Ryan and Kalsita.
One of my favorites. If you haven't read it, it's awesome.
Yeah. Sorry. So they looked at a lot of evidence around you know, early human history and our primate origins, and basically argued that there was no evidence that we were ever meant, or, you know, kind of biologically meant to be a monogamous species. That doesn't mean, of course, that, you know, some people can go against their natural programming and find happiness, you know, in monogamy. But for a lot of people, it's very stressful and a big stretch. And I think it has a lot of different reverberations culturally. Like, one is a deep sense of kind of dissatisfaction and disappointment that a lot of people have, you know, because particularly men who have maybe more programmed to seek, you know, multiple mates. But the sense that, you know, you never really had your needs met, your pleasure, you know, satisfied, and so on.
Well,
so,
sure. And for women too, you know, having to feel this level of kind of shame and repression that they're not able to express their sexuality in a constructive way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry.
So absolutely. I'm glad you interjected. Yeah. So, and you know, I definitely felt it's something that was like a big deal in my own life. And in fact, in a way, like, you know, I'd had serial, you know, monogamous experiences and also kind of like drunken late night experiences, you know, but they were never really that fully satisfying. And then in middle age, I, you know, became a celebrity in this kind of psychedelic circuit and so on. And suddenly I had a lot more kind of sexual opportunities, as you do when you become, you know, a celebrity of any sort in this culture. You know, which in itself I think is kind of sad. Like, I was exactly the same person.
It is, then, you're right.
When I was, you know, younger and morose around it.
Your journey you share in the book, it was very inspiring to and very also part of this healing of the relationships between men and women and the expectations around us to share that and talk about, you know, you felt almost like you, after missing out, you felt like you were almost kind of entitled because you had seen all these other guys do all this stuff and then you wanted your turn. And you realize that maybe in retrospect or in hindsight, that that could have been like hurtful to the people that you were with, not really present or not really realizing it. Am I right? Kind of.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I used a lot of, justifications, and I just also maybe, wasn't, because of my own past, there was a level of maturity missing, or something. I don't know, but once again, it's like, I just take my personal experience as a marker in a much larger, kind of cultural pattern.
Yeah, me too. 100%.
For me, like one of the main kind of alternatives that I discuss in the book is a community in Portugal called Tamara. It was started by German radicals who were part of the left in the 60s and 70s in Germany. And they began to realize that, that there were these dreams, these utopian dreams of the left creating like a new, society or a new utopia, but they weren't coming to fruition. And they began to realize that what was holding back those dreams was actually these core issues around love and sexuality, which would end up to, cause like recriminations and jealousy and envy. So they actually felt they needed to separate themselves from society and explore this whole realm and see if they could come up with a new design, like a different social design for human society. And so Tamara is like a 30-year effort to develop a new social design that allows for, non-possessive, transparent relating that's rooted in trust and authentic communication. And it's a very, very exciting place to visit, I think, and that really shifts your sense of what's possible.
I would love to check it out. And you cite some really awesome literature too coming out of there. And I know, like, so much of the book and really our future, we need to be able to cooperate and work together. And yet there really is a divisive core at the heart of us. And it does have to do with sexuality, the jealousy, the lack of abundance, the kind of like addictiveness, the shame, the programming. It almost seems intentionally there to kind of break us down and take our power away. And you talk about in the book, the idea of like our sexuality is a superpower. And that's something that I've talked about a lot in my workshops and in other writing and stuff, that this is actually like the doorway to our own agency and autonomy over life, is taking back control of that sexuality.
Yeah. I mean, I think so, but I also think that, what the people in Tamara believe is that some individuals out of luck or privilege or, creativity, are able to make an alternative for themselves, but ultimately it's not something that can be handled on the individual basis. It has to be, it requires new community structures, because it also requires dealing with things like childcare. Like, mm-hmm. I think one of the main reasons that, kind of certain types of open relationships are not really that effective is, there's women, for instance, have a deep need to feel that they're going to be safe with a partner and be able to have that significant investment that's required to have a child in a nuclear family, which is like an 18-year, investment. Whereas children are raised collectively in a community, it's a lot more efficient in terms of everybody's resources, energy and time and so on. And particularly liberates a lot of the time for women.
Absolutely. Well, again, the whole idea of paternity certainty or uncertainty, too, which kind of all these early hominid groups, they shared all the childcare duties, they shared the food, they shared the resources, because none of them were sure who the father actually was. And so the resources were just allocated, as opposed to now in our society where it's like, not my baby, not my problem, Mordpovich. It's like very, very much these nuclear units that are completely kind of separated. And this is actually not our nature. I'm sure you talk about in the book, and those of you out there who've read Sex at Dawn know, prior to 10,000 years ago, we lived in these basically polyamorous familial groups, kind of like what Daniel's been describing at Tamara. So sometimes we have to get back to our true nature in order to find solutions, because coming up with solutions from this current structure and this current paradigm isn't working. And I can certainly speak as somebody who I have tried very hard to kind of create on the individual level my own structure. And to a certain extent, me and my primary partner, Jimmy, have been very successful at creating kind of our own non-monogamous, but I also wouldn't call us polyamorous either, but we've kind of been able to create a structure. And there are many people who are kind of doing their own thing, you know, rejecting monogamy, kind of creating their own thing. But it's not for everybody because it's a really, really tough path. There isn't really anyone to help you except for yourself. And that's a kind of burden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess.
And it is changing. I mean, there are more and more people, you know, kind of exploring these alternatives, you know, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's why I think the Tamara thing is really interesting. And I love picking up a book about like, how do we solve problems, the crisis facing our planet. And one of them is kind of like reclaiming our sexuality, which kind of speaks more broadly to all of our systems have to change, right? You mentioned several systems in the book, Daniel, that really we need to overhaul.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, what I tried to do in the book was understand it kind of systemically, you know, from this paradigm of initiation and also thinking about kind of humanity as a whole as kind of a planetary superorganism that's in a symbiotic relationship with the ecology of the Earth as a whole system. And then from that perspective, I then explored our technical systems, our political economic system, and so on, and tried to really offer a different operating system that we could apply to it.
Which I love, and I know it talks about in your press materials. Russell Brand called this kind of a blueprint for the future, which I love. Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. We're going to wrap up this show here on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. Daniel Pinchbeck is going to share with us kind of things that we can do on the individual level that can be kind of practical, and also how this book can serve as a blueprint and what you can gain from reading it. So stick with us and we will be right back to wrap up the show.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Pat. I am so thrilled. I've had the honor of working with Leslie Fontaine for the past year or so, and what she has created in her hit program, Sheer Alchemy, transcends what most of us get to listen to or hear in any point in time in our lives. But beyond that, Leslie is working with people all over the world, and she has created something phenomenal based on the feedback and input from the Archangels, from the Ascended Masters, from the light beings, and most importantly, from each and every one of you. So if you want to change your life, if you're ready to step into your own version of Sheer Alchemy, please give Leslie a call at 678-665-3366. And why? Because this is what you're going to be prepared to do. Be amazed, and on your part, connect with the Ascended Masters that are there to help you custom make the life that you are meant to live.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I am here with Daniel Pinchbeck, and we have been talking about the global climate crisis as a collective human initiation. Now, Daniel, one of the things I love asking every single guest is, you know, is there hope for the future of humanity? Yes or no?
You know, it's kind of, actually just somebody else asked me the same kind of question. I don't know about, I mean, hope to me seems like a strange thing in a weird way. Like,
okay, I mean, can we rise to the occasion and like solve the problems facing our planet?
I think that, you know, actually our lives on this planet are extremely miraculous and wondrous. You know, if we really think about what it took to get us here, you know, we're like, you know, 10 trillion microorganisms compacted into a body. You know, on a universe made of, you know, carbon and hydrogen, on a little rock swirling around a big fireball in an infinite void. I mean, the whole thing is mind-boggling. So, you know, anything could happen. And, you know, my own perspective, like a whole element of what I, you know, think is real is also, you know, shamanism, magic, the esoteric, the occult, the psychic. You know, there's a whole secret reality that has a role to play. So, you know, I do believe that we're on an evolutionary journey. I don't think we're at the end of our evolutionary journey. I think that, you know, we're in the process of an evolution of consciousness to more and more sophisticated and subtle realms. And this is kind of like the crisis that's constructed around us is meant for us to, in a sense, break through it. Kind of like, you know, Mission Impossible or The Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or something. You know, we've now created a situation where we need to bring about a almost a Houdini-like transformation. And it'll be interesting if we can accomplish that.
There's definitely some alchemy going to be involved. And, you know, you're just reminding me of like a lovely internet meme, because that's really our main form of communication now is memes, which talks about, you know, if life is like a video game, so you know you're progressing when the obstacles get harder and you have more enemies. Right. Something to that extent. So that definitely kind of feels like where we are. You know, in your book, you mentioned you're not really one for kind of micro individual solutions. Your book is more of a macro kind of blueprint that examines a number of different systems, but you do make some suggestions for things that people can do, learning to live with less, essentially. How would this work practically?
How would it work practically? I mean, you know, it's complicated because I really don't feel that I have any right or reason to be prescribing other people's behavior to them. You know, obviously, like
same
we know,
way.
Yep. You know, we know that meat eating, you know, is a major contribution to, you know, a lot of negatives like climate change and pollution.
Yeah.
You know, deforestation. You know, a lot of forests, jungles are being converted into soybean plantations to feed cattle. You know, so if people were to stop eating meat in large numbers, it would definitely have an environmental impact. If people were to stop, you know, taking so many plane flights or driving so many cars around or driving cars alone, you know, that would all have benefits. But I know that everybody is in kind of the momentum of their lives in this current world. So I actually think it requires something that's more of like a global movement that has some type of systemic underlying support to it. And, you know, in my book, I look at things like Facebook and Google is really extraordinary because they've shown that we can actually, you know, connect the whole world together in a short period of time. And I propose that maybe, you know, the next stage would be, you know, almost like the internet becoming really like a global brain where humans can make mass decisions together and choose collectively to do things that we don't have the strength individually to do.
It is an interesting concept, absolutely. If these types of, if these corporations would allow it, like Facebook and whatnot.
Well, but on the other hand, we've allowed these corporations. I mean, you know, like, you know, we're all using Facebook. We don't migrate to something else. We know many people, you know, still have their money in big banks that, you know, do things like the Dakota Access Pipeline, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I'm any better. I really do believe that the way for change to happen would be a kind of systemic support network or platform or movement that really inspired and encouraged people and also gave them immediate alternatives.
I read... this is my two cents. I completely agree with you. And I want to talk more about that. But I just want to say, I read an article this week saying that the average person in America throws away 80 pounds of clothing a year. This is like absurd. And that if you look at our landfill...
That actually sounds impossible to me. 80
right?
Pounds.
Okay. I read it, you know, I read it on the internet, so it must be true. I gotta fact check this. But yeah, it was just absurd, the amount of clothing that we throw away. And they said that in our landfill, it's only second to plastic, is just the amount of like clothing, this fast fashion. You know, people are buying stuff and it falls apart because it's junk. So, you know, like upcycling your clothes or like making your own clothes out of old clothes, or like not buying so much new clothing. Who would have thought that that's actually like really, really harmful for the environment? I'm just throwing it out there, and I'm going to try to find the link right now to that meme or video I saw. And in the meantime, Daniel, you are actually, speaking of platforms, you are starting a new platform called Woke. Can you tell us what that's all about?
At the moment, it's kind of in the experimental phase, but I have a bunch of collaborators, people who are in television, you know, as executives and who make TV and so on. And we're thinking about, you know, what kind of a network would be possible that, you know, contributed in a positive way to the type of change that we need.
Awesome. And here we go. So... sorry to interrupt you there. So I'm looking at this article on Take Part, and it's from a movie called The True Cost. They're saying that the average American tosses 82 pounds of textile waste each year. So not just clothing, but a lot of clothing. So in case you guys are wondering, takepart.com has a video all about this. So Daniel, what else are you getting into? You got some new projects coming down the pipeline, or some events maybe where people could come and see you speak?
Well, there are tons of events for the book. And I think we mentioned before, if people go to the website for the book, howsoonisnow.info, there's an events page, and they can find all the events that are upcoming. Other than that, I started a new podcast, which people can listen to. It's on iTunes. It's also called How Soon Is Now. And, just really focused on trying to get the message of this book out there and slowly beginning to move towards writing another book.
And this one took you 8 years, huh?
Yeah, well, it's complicated because actually, I mean, the last book, 2012, The Return of Quetzalcoatl, came out in 2006, I guess. So... taken a while, but I also started a company and I made a documentary film, 2012 Time for Change. I did a lot of things in the meantime.
Yeah, it's not like you've been sitting around for a decade. You've been very busy. We've seen you all over the place. And I just want to personally thank you so much, Daniel. I saw 2012, A Time for Change, right around the time that I kind of had a near-death experience / awakening. And it was definitely very personally inspiring for me. So I'm very grateful for the work you do. And I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show today.
No, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I hope to have you back in the future to talk more about this. And remember, everyone, you can purchase How Soon Is Now starting from next month. And you can go to the website. How soon is it? How soon is now dot
Yeah, huh? And of course, people can already pre-order it either from Amazon or from a local bookstore. And of course, I would encourage them to do so.
Absolutely. Pre-order it from your local bookstore. Well, again, thank you also to all of our listeners, particularly our new listeners on the StarCom Network. It's great to have you here. And I look forward to joining you every Wednesday live on the air at 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Mountain, and 2 o'clock Pacific. You can find out more about me and the show at thelucidplanet.com. Find me on Facebook and Twitter, The Lucid Planet, and also follow my new Instagram, which has all kinds of weird and wonderful things and crystals and food and cute pics, you know. Also, if you want to listen to our podcast, just go to lucidplanetradio.com as well as iTunes and SoundCloud, Lucid Planet Radio. Now, next week, I'm very excited to welcome back to the show Jonah Gabriel Haas, who's going to speak with us about lucidity, eudaimonia, and beyond, basically what it means to create a permanent festival eco-village at Trillium and kind of this whole idea of festival Earth and what that's like. So very cool. Stay tuned for that. Light and love, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.